Welcome back, everybody, into Bill's Chat. I am Josh McCarty. With me tonight, as always, is Luca. I want to apologize for last week. We did not have a show following the Bills' victory over the New England Patriots between Christmas and then just some things going on. It just didn't work out timing-wise, but we are back. We are back to break down the Bills' victory over the New York Jets to improve to 13-3, 40-14. The Bills get the win. They clinch the 2 seed, and everybody can take a breath next week. The game is meaningless. Luca, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'll be honest, if anyone's watching on YouTube, welcome. But then also, it's nice that we're getting a little bit of a daytime, well, kind of daytime recording in. There is still light in through my windows behind me, so I'll call it daytime, even though it's not exactly because the sun's up. But overall, it's good to get an early recording in. It's good that the Bills got the 2 seed locked up. Everything's fine and dandy here on a week 17 Sunday, where next week's slate just got even less interesting because, it's everything in the NFL seems to be locked up, where I'm very curious to see how everything works out next week, while also I will honestly say the Bills game is low on the totem pole on care due to the only thing that matters through that game is make sure everyone gets through it healthy because the playoffs are around the corner.
I think for the majority of Bills fans, there's like two or three things that are really on our mind right now. One is Josh Allen the MVP. Did he do enough today against the Jets to really help his case? Because right now, when you look at the betting odds, he is still a slight favorite over Lamar Jackson, but that number has come down somewhat significantly the last couple of weeks. Two, who are the Bills going to play in the first round of the playoffs? What we know now is the Bills are no longer alive for the 1 seed. The Chiefs did lock that up with their victory over the Steelers on Christmas Day. And with the Bills win today over the Jets, they are now locked into the 2 seed. The 7 seed, who will be coming to Buffalo on wild card weekend, is one of 3 teams. It's the Denver Broncos, it's the Miami Dolphins, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals. The Indianapolis Colts were eliminated from the mix today with their mind-boggling loss to the Giants, where Drew Lock just apparently decided to. I'm sure there's somebody out there, Luca, in a fantasy league where just maybe they had Jalen Hurts and then just were arrogant enough to never carry a quarterback and it was a deep league and they had to start Drew Lock today. And can you imagine being that opponent? But the Colts to me were always one of those teams that would have been an ideal opponent for the Bills. They already thrashed the Colts earlier in the year. I think the Dolphins and the Bengals present some challenges. Obviously it's a division game. So right now I think that's where Bills fans' minds are at, Luca, is what's going on with the MVP award? Who's coming here week one of the playoffs? And then obviously, what is McDermott going to do with the starters next week? I think you and I touched on it even a little bit before we started. I would expect Josh Allen to start to extend his starting streak, but I would expect that he does not play very, very long at all. And every snap that Josh Allen's out there, you know the primary offensive lineman will be out there. And then once he's done, they should be done. And it should be all eyes on the playoffs. Where's your head at right now, Luca? Is it about this game in particular? Is it about the bigger picture? Where's your mind at right now?
There's a little bit about it with this game. I will say, I said it right before we started recording. This might single-handedly be the most forgettable game to me of the season. And I only mean that where we're sitting down as close to the end of game as we ever have with a podcast. And yet I can honestly say I don't remember too much about it. What I will say is, you know, just simply put, the dominance level of which everything showed. I mean, even with the offense, it's not like the offense wasn't even that great to start. They just weren't, you know, getting the actual scores at the end of the drives kind of deal. But ultimately, it's just one of those things where it was so easy for the time where the Jets weren't even remotely sniffing a score, or even if they had a little bit sight on a score, they just came up massively shorter. The Bills defense came up big. Kind of as you put it, it's more focused, not necessarily on the MVP thing, an argument that's kind of becoming exhausting and some on the interwebs, we'll call it, or anywhere else. But yeah, for me, it's more about eyes on week 18 through the terrible slate that it is. But ultimately, you know, probably going to be main screening Broncos Chiefs, Carson Wentz versus Bo Nix, the matchup everyone wants to watch as we try to see if the Broncos will ultimately be that team that comes to Buffalo on Super Wildcard Weekend. If it's not them, then yeah, it gets a lot more interesting, of course, with the Bengals still being alive, as well as the Dolphins, as we're talking here right now, with that game going on at this moment. I believe it's 3-3 right now between the Browns and the Dolphins, if I have it up correctly. But overall, that's more where my head's at. It's just looking forward to week 18 and anything that's possibly there to look forward to. And ultimately, I'm going to be honest, hoping that the Broncos can take care of business in a game they absolutely should win, as we've already learned, even sitting here at 4:51 p.m. Eastern, that the Chiefs will be resting majority of their starters. And that's a game where if you're Bo Nix, if you're Sean Payton, if you're the Broncos, you have no business losing that game. Just like in that game against the Bengals, I'll be honest, once you had the ball twice in overtime and you were incapable of doing anything with it, that's a game that you can ultimately feel like you should have probably had a result in, as your defense kept coming up with timely stops or doing whatever it needed to do, as well as have a little bit of luck with, you know, a missed field goal here or there. But it's going to be an interesting week 18 to see who the hell ends up in Orchard Park for the Super Wildcard Weekend.
So week 18, if you look at a week 18 schedule, you'll notice there are no dates or times submitted yet for these games. There are two games that are going to stand alone on Saturday. And then obviously we have to figure out what game is going to get flexed into Sunday night. I would say this right now, it is 0-0. If the Minnesota Vikings beat the Green Bay Packers, then I think you can lock in the Sunday night game is going to be the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions, all for the NFC North championship, with the loser being the 5 seed. From there, as my son has entered the room, I think that the Steelers-Bengals game will absolutely be a standalone game on Saturday. There's a couple of reasons for that. You do not want that game running parallel with the Ravens going against the Browns and their quarterback, who can barely complete a forward pass right now. Because if the Ravens get that game out of hand, the Steelers will lose motivation to try hard in that game. The Steelers, for that game to matter to them, need the possibility of a Ravens loss, and then they could still win the AFC North. So I think that the Steelers and Bengals will play on Saturday. The tricky one, though, is do you also put Chiefs Broncos on Saturday? And which one goes first? Because if Steelers and Bengals goes first and the Steelers were to beat the Bengals, all of a sudden the Broncos don't have a ton to play for unless Miami is still alive on Sunday. So those are the moving parts the league has to figure out. You don't want to be in a scenario where you put a game in a standalone time slot and you have a team or two teams that don't know what they're playing for. Luca, while I handle what's going on in this room right now, why don't you break down the three teams that are at risk of playing the Bills in Wild Card Weekend and kind of rank them for me, and who you would like to see come here and who you'd least like to see come here? And do you fear any of them?
Yeah, when it comes to the actual time slot and everything that it comes to, it really does feel like, as long as Miami wins this game, if Miami's alive, it feels like a situation where you see Miami and the Jets as one of those standalone games on Saturday in my eyes, as well as then the Bengals and Steelers, why did I say Browns? Probably because I'm looking at them. Bengals Steelers as the other standalone, because they have to win in order to even have a chance. And you want to just kind of sit it there where then pressure's on the Broncos. You don't want those all at the same, or you can have them all at the same time. But when you have those standalone games, of course you want games that have some sort of matter to them. They need to mean something. And ultimately that feels like where those two games, that's what the NFL would like to see, I would imagine. So you would see those two games in those slots and allow people to watch them with something on the line, as well as then, like you said, if the Steelers are involved as well, the Steelers have a shot where if they win that game, then ultimately they still have a shot at the division, where then the, you know, it gives the Ravens time to dictate things and do whatever, while also, you know, it's going to be an interesting balance. Let's just put it that way. So from there, to break down the teams, you have the Dolphins, you have the Bengals, and then of course you have the Broncos. Ultimately, what I think, if you're a Bills fan, your wish list, you should want the Broncos to be coming to town. The Broncos to me are that team that ultimately I just don't see a path for them being better than the Bills, unless the Bills just hand them the game. That is ultimately the only way a Sean Payton, Bo Nix, Broncos team comes into Buffalo and gets a win on Super Wildcard Weekend. outside of that, the Bengals and the Dolphins have an interesting dynamic. I would say next up would be the Dolphins. You have the Dolphins number, even if they are a divisional foe where they are very familiar with you, you own them. And on top of it all, they're not at their healthiest at the moment. It feels like you would have a good opportunity, if not great opportunity, against them to take care of business. The one team where I don't put them in the fear category, but ultimately it's the most worrisome, is the Bengals. What's weird about the Bengals, though, is it's a story of two things, and it's been for the Bengals the entire season. On one hand, you have this terrible defense, a bottom five defense in the league that doesn't know what the heck they're doing. They can't stop a nosebleed. They're awful. They somehow have a guy who's in the top of sacks and yet most yards allowed and things of that nature, where they just don't know what they're doing defensively as a unit, and they just allow points at will, it seems like, against a lot of teams around the league. But if it wasn't for the fact that that defense was so bad, you do, on the other side, have that offense where Joe Burrow, if you gave Joe Burrow the record of the Bills, Lamar wouldn't be in the MVP conversation because it would be a runaway for Joe Burrow. That is what's going on. Joe Burrow, if you took away records from all teams, in my eyes, Joe Burrow would probably be the betting favorite right now. He's playing very well. It's all on his shoulders, and he's excelling on top of also having a dominant season of Jamar Chase doing his things. And oh, by the way, T. Higgins is still there to give you walk-off touchdowns when you need it, or big-time catches up the sideline. Don't forget about him. The Bengals can outscore anyone. So with that in mind, when you look at the Bills, you don't want another situation like you had in the Rams game. You don't want to go up against another team that really can kind of win in a shootout against you and really put the pressure on you because they're able to score at will against you. And the Bengals are an offense that absolutely can do that with anyone. So just it's a worrisome matchup in my eyes. It's not fear. I think the Bills ultimately should be able to take care of business. I would say that the matchup would ultimately lean on the defenses to need to take over because both offenses are very, very, very good. And ultimately, I would say the Bills are a definite step up, if not multiple step up, on defense compared to the Bengals, where it's like you shouldn't be losing that game in your house, everything involved. But the wish list is definitely Denver first, Miami second, and then it's definitely for sure the Bengals third when it comes to who I want coming to Orchard Park in a couple of weeks to play a wild card game. That's how it goes. Ultimately, though, how then we get to watch those games come week 18, like I said, Josh, honestly, I could see it where you, as long as the Dolphins win, you're going to have the Dolphins game as well as then the Bengals game on Saturday. That feels like an NFL dream where teams that have to win to even have a chance go into that to then create the need for a team on then Sunday to do their thing. And then also, if the Steelers were to win, it puts just a little bit of pressure, if I recall correctly, on the Ravens to still have to take care of business, because I do think that the Steelers can still win the division if memory serves me right. So ultimately, that kind of feels like that's where it is. And the NFL is absolutely rooting for the Vikings, as you said, just as a closing point, because they want so badly. They want Lions-Vikings on Sunday night, where everything's on the line, where you could either be the one seed or you're a wild card team, depending on that result. It's a crazy situation going on there that, I would imagine the NFL is watching this and going, you know, they're doing the skull chant with the Vikings fans, hoping to God they can get Lions, you know, Vikings on Sunday Night Football.
I agree with your order. I also agree with, I feel like your tiers. I feel like the Bengals are, to me, just because of their offense, it's just a team I would prefer not to have to deal with in the first round. And then Dolphins, the familiarity. And then the Broncos, you're talking about a rookie quarterback and a defense that's been shaky against good teams. So I feel like, you know, that's a team where you would just welcome the Broncos coming here on wildcard weekend. And if you were to lose to that team, it wasn't your year. All right. Well, let's talk about the game that did take place today, the Bills 40-14 victory. I felt like this was a very much needed result for the defense because the 14 points that came against the Bills were all in the fourth quarter with Tyrod Taylor in the game, by the way. After Mitch Trubisky had come in for the Bills, it was 40-0. Tyrod Taylor comes in and throws two touchdowns to Tyler Conklin and Garrett Wilson. But overall, I felt like the defense, had been giving us reason for concern the last few weeks. There was obviously what a lot of us are calling the perfect game from Matt Stafford, where the Rams scored 5 touchdowns in that game. And then the previous 3 weeks combined, the Rams have 3 touchdowns overall. Yeah. And then the next week against the Lions, another shootout. Now, I will say that shootout, to me, the score doesn't do justice to how lopsided that game was. The Bills were significantly ahead, and the Lions kind of kept bringing it within about 10 points, bringing it within about 10 points before ultimately bringing it within one score. But the game, the time was running out. And then last week against the Patriots, you know, the Patriots had a good couple drives in the first half. The Bills really shut it down in the second half. Also important to note, for the last several weeks, the Bills have been playing without both their starting safeties, DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp was back today. And without their starting cornerback, Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas was back today. And last week, they also played without Matt Milano, who was back today. Luca, two-part question. How worried were you about the defense? And how much confidence have you gained after seeing the result today where they essentially shut out Aaron Rodgers and the Jets through 3.5 quarters?
Minimally more confident. I think I'll start with the latter of the two questions. Minimally more confident. I will say this. Matt Milano is concerning to me right now. I find myself when watching Milano really hoping Dorian Williams can get healthy and get back out there. And I would prefer him to be in that starting spot overall. Just too often are you noticing Matt Milano. Now, I don't believe it's because he wants to be playing this way, but it feels like he's playing at 65%, 70%, whatever it is. It feels like it's almost a walkthrough speed for him. And when the games get tough and they're faster than always and more physical than always in the playoffs, I don't need to be watching something that looks like what Matt Milano currently looks like. As great as a player he has been, he's not himself right now. And ultimately, I do believe that it's hurting. It's hurting this defense more than it's helping. I think he's helping it mentally, but he's hurting it physically. And when the games get physical, you do still need that mental aspect. He could be a great guy to bring in situations as well as have on the sideline, of course, to do his thing. But ultimately, I need someone that's more physically capable of doing the job, you know, every down, like a Dorian Williams should be able to, or it seems like he would be more capable of doing right now than a Matt Milano. But put that aside, you know, Rasul Douglas being back out there was great. Rapp, like you said, Rapp was great before he went out late this last time with an injury. Seeing him back out there is nice. The defensive line had a nice day, although the Jets offensive line was just a revolving door of whoever the heck was available at 300 pounds. It was not a pretty day for them. So I kind of take that with a grain of salt, but it's just, they needed a confidence booster, right? And this was absolutely that. On the day, they had a dominant performance where, yes, the opponent or the opposition wasn't the greatest, but it doesn't matter on the day. It's hard to get shutouts. This is a kind of shutout with asterisk, or, you know, however you want to call it. Like you said, the Jets didn't score until Tyrod Taylor came in and scored for them a couple touchdowns. They should be feeling very good about themselves, and they needed that. They deserve that. It's been a tough few weeks, even last week against the Patriots, where it really did kind of look concerning on what the heck was going on and so on and so forth, that getting healthier, getting back out there, and then kind of having a dominating performance all in one is a great, great feeling that ultimately, hopefully, can carry the vibes and maybe get them confidence, get that confidence back up that I would imagine has been lacking a little bit of recent. Even in wins, you would imagine that those defensive, you know, rooms when game planning or, you know, doing self-scouting or whatever they're doing, talking about themselves, hasn't been the jolliest, because you don't allow 40 points and feel good about yourself as a defense, even if you're doing that in a win. So I'm a little bit feeling better about it, but ultimately I will make this point too. A common friend of ours made a comment where he goes, are we just the worst first quarter defense in the league? And I just, like, tongue in cheek jokingly said, we're just the worst scripted plays defense. And it just feels like it's because we're the most predictable defense, where teams can game plan best for us. But then the stats show how we are really good at halftime, come out second half, and then we get a really good feel for the game and we can shut crap down and we're really jumping or running on all cylinders in the second half compared to that first half. And you wonder just if that's going to continue. Ultimately, I believe it to be the case. And it's just going to be something where I have to remind everyone, if you have rough first halves, just remember that this team, no matter who it is, whether it's the Patriots, the Jets, or ultimately if it's the Broncos and then the Ravens and the Chiefs, it's like, it seems like on tape, for whatever reason, teams are able to game plan for us and get those quote unquote scripted plays that find them success early on. You just got to roll with the punches because you can at least sit there confidently understanding that they're going to evaluate the situation, evaluate the game, and ultimately make the changes that are needed to kind of shut it down in the second half and get things going defensively at that point in time, where hopefully you can take over, even if you find yourself falling behind in those games early on.
Yeah, I'm not like thinking this defense is horrendous. I know the last few weeks has been less than inspiring. I do think that the Bills are going to have to win if they win this championship on their offense, and the defense is going to have to be a role player in this. They have guys on that side of the ball who are capable of making plays, but it's hard for me to envision maybe more than one game where the defense just plays lights out and the Bills build their entire game plan around their defense. But I do think that this Jets team was ready made for the Bills. And, you know, if you've watched Aaron Rodgers in his career, you know, if you leave a soft zone, he is going to throw that quick snap throw over the middle to a tight end or Devontae Adams. And we saw that time and time again today, where the Jets would be in like second and 16, second and 17 because they had a penalty, and he'd just snap throw to Conklin or Adams and he'd get about 12 of it back, and you'd be frustrated. But then you just have to remind yourself, this is bend but don't break. The Bills all day long were daring the Jets to prove they could go the length of the field, 15 play dry without making a mistake. And as we saw time and time again from these Jets, they continue to make mistakes, whether it's fumbling the ball, whether it's throwing an interception, whether it's making penalties to put them behind the sticks, or whether it's going for a fourth down with a shotgun run, which is just like, I don't understand it when you don't have a mobile quarterback, but you know, that is not my problem. I'm happy that is not my problem. And the Bills were right to do that against them. And I don't know that it tells us much about what it's going to look like when they play Baltimore, Kansas City, or the Texans, or whoever will be in their way in the playoffs. But I do think for today, you did see why the Bills do believe in this bend but don't break structure. Let's talk about Josh Allen's day, Luca. 16 to 27, 182 passing yards. Not much was needed through the air. This game was over kind of quickly. I mean, even 12-0 at halftime, it felt like it was like 30-0. And then quickly after that, it was 33-0. Josh Allen, 2 passing touchdowns, 17 on the ground, another rushing touchdown. Some would say he probably should have had another rushing touchdown, but they gave it to James Cook. I thought Tony Romo was really sharp on play-by-play there, saying, yeah, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, if you're in an MVP race, that everybody would want that, but the right call is to hand it to the running back. And, you know, I thought it showed some maturity out of the Bills there too. On a day where Saquon Barkley stayed in a game that they were up by 38 points.
Yeah.
Just to get over 2,000 rushing yards, I thought the Bills handled this right. They didn't force the issue and force Josh Allen into a quarterback's need to get a touchdown there. And after a turnover, they put Trubisky in early in the fourth quarter. Allen easily could have gone down and tried for another touchdown there. And I thought the Bills had some maturity of not chasing stats. What did you think of Josh Allen's day? And as you sit here today, assuming Josh Allen is for the most part done in the regular season, Lamar does have to play next week. How do you see this MVP thing going?
It's a great question. I mean, I will say the point on Barkley is a fascinating one. When you saw a legitimate effort by the Eagles to make sure he at least got over 2,000 in this game, I'm going to be very fascinated to see what the Eagles do next week against the Giants of all teams. Are they really going to do what everyone kind of thinks they're going to do? Because, I mean, if they actually do that, Josh, I will say, not that this is a Giants podcast or an Eagles podcast, but that's where Mara should really look into the mirror and just say, is this organization front office worth it right now? As they just, he watched a guy that is now known to everyone where he said, I don't know if I can handle, you know, Saquon Barkley being an Eagle, basically, Mara said. And all of a sudden, all he gets the rushing record against you. That's heartbreaking. But when it comes to Lamar and Josh Allen, I will say this. I personally wouldn't be even starting Josh Allen next week. I think week 18 should not dictate the winner or loser of the MVP race. I think voters should also have the understanding, and I think some do, some don't. It's not like I know how they are, but ultimately you understand how much a game truly matters, and or like, you know, the weight of it or team's decision. If the Bills were to bench Josh Allen, it's not like they're going to hold it against him kind of deal. Just like I imagine if the Ravens find themselves in a situation where they have to win that game to seal the division, they're going to at least evaluate it that way. But then, you know, are the Ravens going to sit there and go, we should stat pad so Lamar can absolutely get the MVP? Ultimately, I feel like that shouldn't matter. Where you see it all standing now, it should be where it is. And it's a very, very, very tight discussion. I will say this, Josh. I liked how when discussing the MVP race between the two on the broadcast for the Bills game, you could almost hear Nance stumbling through. It was either Nance or Romo stumbling through the stats and the comparison. And it, to me, highlighted just how tight it is, because it felt like what was happening. I want to say it was Nance. Nance was trying to almost like go out of his way to make that case for Josh Allen. And he was like, you know, Allen's got the 41 total touchdowns and Lamar's sitting there at 43. And like, it was like, he was trying to show why Josh Allen should get that check mark. But ultimately, when you just look at those stats, if it's truly just a statistical award, which we learned from last year is not necessarily the case, but ultimately, if it is, it's just that tight. And then they're like, you know, it comes down to those wins and the big wins you have. And it's like, yeah, the Bills beat the number one seed in the AFC and maybe potentially the number one seed in the NFC. We'll see how it shakes out with the Lions. And then immediately Romo goes, but then the Ravens beat the Bills. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's so tight that then all of a sudden you can't penalize one guy if that were to be Josh Allen, because he doesn't start altogether in week 18, and or he gets, as you kind of even said here, he comes in, hands it off three times to get that consecutive start. And next thing you know, boom, he's on the bench. He's got his baseball cap on and he's done for the day. It shouldn't be something that penalizes him. Ultimately, I think that award is being voted upon right now more than what could transpire next week. I think some of that will matter, of course, if Lamar ends up winning his division and so on and so forth. But how I see it shaking out, honestly, I have no idea. I 2 weeks ago, we sat on this podcast and we talked about how Josh Allen had this thing signed, sealed, delivered. It was locked up. And then we saw not necessarily a bad performance, but not a great one out of him. And Lamar keeps doing what he's doing. And he also kind of, he got through his nemesis. He gets a very nice win against the Steelers, a team he has historically struggled against, and a key game that ultimately could see them eventually win the division as we're talking here. That it's a fun race. You heard it on the CBS pregame.
Sorry about that. We had some technical issues in the middle of Luca's MVP point. But to piggyback on what you were saying, Luca, I feel like this is one of those years where it reminds me of 2003, where Steve McNair and Peyton Manning both won the MVP, and it was a co-MVP. And that, to me, is a worst-case scenario, because that just is just going to be an offseason of Ravens and Bills fans arguing. But in that year, Peyton Manning had significantly better stats. It wasn't even close, but the thought was that what Steve McNair meant to his team trumped that of Peyton Manning. I do think there's a little bit of that going on now, because when you look at like the football card stats that we all grew up worshiping, yards, touchdowns, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, Lamar is ahead of Josh Allen consistently in those. When you start digging deeper, you look at like the analytics stats, the EPA, that's where Josh Allen really takes off. I think right now, if it's truly down to Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, I think edge will go to Josh Allen, because how these voters think, one, Lamar Jackson already has two, And a lot of time these voters think about legacy. Do they really want to give Lamar his third, where Josh Allen is a guy that's been at that level and really is ready to win one? It's not the best way to do it. But the other thing is, I know record does matter. Historically, at least recently, the MVP has gone to a quarterback of a one or a two seed. Several weeks ago, one of the reasons why Josh Allen was such a prohibitive favorite is because the Ravens were tracking to be a wild card team, but now they've gotten back into the conversation and are the favorite to be the three seed. So I do think Josh Allen will win this dead heat with Lamar, but the tricky part is, if there's a voter that's having a hard time differentiating the two, now you have this running back that just broke Eric Dickerson's record in this world where we assume he goes for more than 100 next week against the Giants. And you have to compartmentalize how much of that is, you know, because there's 17 games, yada, yada, yada. Do we just vote for him? It's going to be fascinating to watch play out. I just hope that no matter who wins, everybody appreciates that we have a guy in the running. I think our guy will win, but, you know, it seems like it's a lot closer than it looked a couple weeks ago. Luca, let's move on to game ball and game checks from this game before we kind of talk. We finish this up with a little bit bigger picture. The Bills win 40-14, our favorite segment of the week, particularly after a win. Who gets your game ball for the Bills 40-14 victory over the New York Jets?
It's an interesting one, because I will say this, even though Josh Allen still had a phenomenal day, I don't know if it necessarily leans on Josh Allen due to a couple reasons, but the one main one I will say is this. I think there's a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball that can kind of get this one. And it's tough for me to differentiate between a lot of them. And I'm not going to sit here and just name a bunch, because I know you like to give your honorable mentions and stuff like that. That's kind of how we do this. I'm honestly going to go with Greg Rousseau.
Thinking him too.
Yeah. I'm going to go Greg Rousseau, because Greg Rousseau continues to do something for this team where, again, edge rushers get paid based on sacks, but Greg Rousseau might affect the game the most out of any single defensive player, at least for sure defensive lineman. And he, again today, he had half a sack officially. He had, it looks like one tackle, two assists, but he had the batted pass that ultimately Jordan Phillips picked off. And I believe he had also one of those, maybe it was the only registered solo tackle, was that key tackle where he just kind of shot the gap and ultimately stopped a run that could have easily gone for the 1 yard needed, stopped it short. And it feels like time and time again, Gregory Rousseau, he, unlike others on the defensive line that do seem to disappear in big games or disappear for lengths of time, I think Greg Rousseau might disappear when it comes to the sack category, but affecting games is not that. And he once again showed up and was a key factor in the reason that this defense was as great as it was today and was affecting everything. And I thought it was awesome to hear just the little tidbit. You know, I don't know how truthful it is or not, but obviously they wouldn't just make it up out of thin air, where you heard Romo and Nance talk about in their meetings with Rodgers, how Rodgers highlights and calls out both Epinesa and Rousseau as individuals that you don't hear about around the league, but they just, you know, they stand out on tape and the league just doesn't understand how good they are. I don't know if I'm buying that too much with Epinesa. That feels like that was just a timely comment after Epinesa basically was awarded a free safety. But ultimately, I do think that stands with some merit a little bit more with Rousseau, who even as Bills fans, we see can affect the game time and time again from his edge position in more ways than just simply getting to the passer and getting sacks. He does a lot for this defense, and it showed for me today where I believe he is the game ball recipient.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. I think Rousseau is a dirty work guy. Doesn't get a lot of the splash stats, but he was going to be my pick if you didn't go that direction. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm going to go with AJ Epinesa. He had the safety. He had another tackle for loss on the play. I thought he had a strong game against the run. And, you know, there's a couple other guys mixed in there. I thought both tackles played really well. I thought Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas played really well on a day where you hold Aaron Rodgers to 112 yards and two interceptions. I thought that the cornerbacks played tremendous. Overall, I thought it was just a strong performance overall from the team. And then Codrington with one of the more athletic kick returns you will see. I was glad he didn't break it, because I have Josh Allen in fantasy and I wanted Josh Allen to get those points. Anyway, Luca, who gets your game check award?
I love the Codrington shout out, even though he let another Moss touchdown happen on him. He's had Ben Moss twice for a touchdown.
That's not going to work in the playoffs. Luka. We got to figure something out for that.
Luckily, that's not his primary job. Game check award. Man, it's interesting because this felt like a really true, like team kind of game. It had that team feel to it. Jeez. I mean, I guess I could go for, I'm going to be frank. I'm struggling. I'm going to go for Matt Milano, and I'm only going to do that because of what I said earlier. It feels like when I'm watching him, the only thing I'm thinking about is it would be nicer to have Dorian Williams out there right now. Uh-huh. And that's, and again, it's not entirely, you know, on him. He's coming back from two major injuries. He's barely played any football of recent. There's a lot going on there, but it's like, he's doing a walkthrough in live gameplay. And that is not good to me. And that's something that is definitely, as I talked about earlier in the episode, I am concerned about. And, you know, when the games get tough. So really, the fact that even in a game where there was a dominating defensive performance, that I'm looking at that guy and I'm wishing he kind of wasn't there. And he's been, or he is, the normal quote unquote starter for this defense. That's enough for me to kind of just raise up a little bit of a red flag alarm on his play to say that he warrants my game check award this week.
I like it. I can live with it. Okay. So I'm going to break a rule. I think as a rule, it should be a rule, and I'm going to break it. I'm going to go with somebody who didn't play today. I'm going to go with Kyer Elam.
There you go.
He was inactive an hour and a half before the game came out, but I think there's a larger story here. In training camp, we were thinking, man, Kyer Elam's really balling. It seems like maybe it just took him, you know, to that fourth year for that light to really flicker on. And, you know, he can be like the new Dane Jackson plus on this defense, where if you get an injury, you still have a starting caliber corner. You know, we saw the last couple of weeks, that's not the case. Kyer Elam is still very shaky in coverage. And, you know, last week he was inactive in favor of Jamarcus Ingram. Again, inactive today in favor of Jamarcus Ingram. And this is a day where the Bills still, despite getting some guys back, were down Damar Hamlin. And, you know, it's just disappointing that they're not getting more out of their first round pick from that year. They're getting plenty out of their sixth round pick, Christian Benford. He has been a home run. You know, I think it's disappointing. The Kyer Elam thing has not gone well. And I think there's a real possibility this team might look to move him this offseason, especially if they're able to keep Rasul Douglas here long term. All right, Luca. Well, next week the Bills have a date with the New England Patriots, which for them is actually a very massive game when it comes to getting the first overall pick, because the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the New York Giants all win today, which puts New England in the driver's seat in the Shedeur Sanders / Cam Ward / Travis Hunter sweepstakes of the number one overall pick. But they can ruin that next week if they go out there and beat the Bills backups, which I project will be the Bills backups. So, you know, I don't know that we're going to really go too hard on, you know, breaking down the Bills Patriots game next week. I think it'll much more be of, we'll know who the Bills opponent is. It'll be kind of a first look at that, our feeling on the bracket in totality, and going from there. But Luke, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
If the Bills wanted to truly play chess, you do everything you can to lose that game.
Yeah,
that is what I will say. I genuinely mean that. I will say this is not me trying to be tongue in cheek here. You should be understanding that you have nothing to gain from winning and everything to gain from losing that game. When it comes to, look, simply put, as you just said, Josh, the Patriots should be trying to lose that game for one. Because the Patriots aren't in the quarterback market, but if people are, it's nice to be sitting there on the number one pick or the number two pick, because you can most likely trade it for a quote unquote ransom. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Bills, you don't want to just freely hand the Patriots the ability to acquire resources to accelerate the rebuild that is their franchise. Why not make it a little bit more difficult by controlling that situation? And ultimately, darn, shucks, Mitch Trubisky and the Bills weren't able to pull it out in Foxborough. And ultimately, the Patriots win their final regular season game of 2024, I should say, or 2025 at that point. Anyways, win that game and all of a sudden go from the first or second pick to the, I mean, depending on how results go, Josh, I think they can fall as far as seven. It's something crazy where there's so many teams down there. I want to say it's that far. And if you can make that big of an impact on the draft, if you're the Bills, you should be doing that. And hopefully we will be sitting here, as you said, next week talking about one, the Bills losing to the Patriots in a meaningless game for the Bills and everything for the Patriots. And then two, we know who is coming to Orchard Park the following week when we get to enjoy a playoff game as the two seed. And the Patriots, as we're talking about here, unfortunately, quote unquote for them, are drafting, say, seventh overall and lost out on the Travis Hunter or trade for a billion asset sweepstakes. And their concessions is going to be some nice tackle out of Oklahoma or whatever it ends up being. That would be an ultimate win as a Bills fan. So yeah, it'll be a fun week next week, Josh, where the result of the game itself means as little as possible. And everything is about all the other games, where we'll be less of a Bills chat and more of an NFL chat for a bit there, where we break down everything and kind of discuss how does the playoff landscape look and what is going to happen with the Bills? What's the path to hopefully making it to New Orleans for this Bills team after we understand where everyone sits in the AFC and NFC picture for that matter?
Another aspect of this is I think that Patriots are trying to talk themselves into keeping Jerod Mayo. And you just wonder that if they were to get a win the last week of the season and beat the big bad Bills, you know, like maybe that would go a long way. You know, who knows? I think that there is, I don't know that they're going to fire him. I think he's horrendous as a head coach. I think he makes awful game day decisions. I think he's terrible at handling the microphone aspect of it. He's put his foot in his mouth multiple times. I'd love to see him stick around in New England because I think they're going nowhere fast with that guy. I do like their quarterback quite a bit, though, Drake May. But yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what happens next week. Hopefully the Bengals do not find their way to Orchard Park round one of the playoffs. Also, I would be okay if the Dolphins don't as well. Bring on those Broncos. But either way, the games start to really, really matter after next week. It's the money games. This team is as solid as any Bills team as we've had since the 2020 season. They're going to have a really good look at making a run at this championship, and it's all going to start 2 weeks from, well, yesterday. Hopefully for the Bills, they're game is either on not Monday. We don't want the Bills to be on Monday. Be on Monday, Bills.
I'll be on Monday.
But you know, it's getting down to crunch time, Luca. All this talk, all this regular season stuff is about to be behind us, and the legacy games are coming up, and that's kind of what you live for. So for Luca, I am Josh McCarty. The Bills improved to 13-3. They are the two seed in the AFC, and we will see you next week on Bills Channel.